Hello, 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 and welcome to My Empty Hands, the podcast about the martial arts with a focus on Kenpo. I am Reggie Darden, and today I have with me a great guest here, Joanne Fasano. And yeah, we're going to talk some Kenpo and just kind of get right into it. So I typically start things off with just giving my background. I started Kenpo in the early to mid 90s after seeing The Perfect Weapon, a little Kenpo movie that I'm sure nobody listening has seen. But yeah, I saw The Perfect Weapon, instantly fell in love with Kenpo and started training. I made it to my green belt before I left for the Army, and while I was in the Army, I got to do some Taekwondo and some Hapkido and some boxing, and enjoyed that. After I left the military, I then got involved in Capoeira, and I've been training and teaching Capoeira for quite a few years, so I'm enjoying that. And I got back into the Kenpo world about 2 or 3 years ago, training in a American Kenpo, Ed Parker American Kenpo style. Originally, I was in a Chinese Kenpo school, essentially the Tracy's Karate, Tracy's Kenpo curriculum, and so, you know, that's kind of the brief rundown of my history, and we'll kind of, you know, get into more as we talk. Something that is new to my journey is the teaching aspect. I've recently entered the instructor's program at my school, so teaching Kenpo is a new thing for me. And so I'm always interested to hear more about people that have done that. So so we may get into that on this show. So yes, and now I will turn it over to my lovely guest here, and yeah, just tell us how you got started, how Kenpo found you, and we'll follow your journey from there.
Great. Thanks, Reggie, for having me on. So I had always thought at some point of trying karate, but, you know, life got in the way. I had two boys, worked full time, just was always kind of in the back of my mind. But never, what happened is when I turned 50, my kids were more grown up, and I had started thinking about karate again and maybe trying it, because I'm the kind of person that I really don't like just going to the gym and working out. I need, I like dancing or doing something where I'm kind of multitasking and keeping my interest. I just hate sitting on a treadmill or doing something where, so I just was finding that I needed something more. And so I started thinking about karate again, and I started looking into it a little bit and was getting a little overwhelmed at how many different types of karates there were, and I wasn't really sure where to go. And it just so happened that I at work I was in a meeting with a bunch of people that I didn't know that well. I knew them but not well, and we had to go around the room and say something about ourselves that everyone else in the room might not know about them. And this woman who I knew a little bit, but not really well at all, just a coworker, she said that her thing that people might not know about her was that she was a black belt in Kenpo karate. And so I took that as a signal and went and talked to her after the meeting. And she proceeded to tell me all about Kenpo, and she sent me a link. This was over 10 years ago. So She sent me a link to the Kempo schools in the area that were, she said, make sure it's a certified whatever class. And I said, okay. I looked at the list and there happened to be one 10 minutes from my house in my town. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to go try this and see if I like it or not. And so I just called and went to the free class to try it out, said, okay, seems pretty cool. I'm just going to keep going. And I signed up. I went, maybe was going like once or twice a week to start. Wasn't really sure if I was going to love it or not. And it was okay at first. I was like one of the few adults in the class. It was mostly teenage boys. To starting with that, I were in my class, and I would just go do my thing, go home, and didn't really like, hadn't really made any friends, wasn't really sure if I was gonna continue, but I just, thankfully, I just kept going. I just said, nope, I wanna, like, I like the fact that you have a belt to motivate you to try to say you a goal to set to say, well, I want to get at least my yellow belt. So I would keep going and keep going. And so I just kept going and I kept liking it more. And then eventually more adults did join. I did make friends. And I'll keep talking more about my journey as you ask questions. But the more I do it, the more I'm loving it more and more and more. So that's how I started out. It really was just, I took that as a sign and I just went with this school and I've been there for 10 years now.
Very nice, very nice. I like that. Of course, I like that you stuck with it, especially considering that starting off, there wasn't, it doesn't sound like there was that instant
Right.
love for the art or for the training. I mean, for me, I've always, been into the martial arts movies and always wanted to, be a part of the martial arts world. So, as soon as I got to the school, luckily the first school that I was at, it was a great school and great people right off from the start. But because I had so much of a passion for it, I think I, could have went to the Cobra Kai school and still would have been, fine with training. So, it says a lot about that, you had that inner fire to continue training, even though, kind of the start wasn't, exactly the big bang, the big.
Well, I had a great teacher. So Mr. Sean Crehan is my teacher. And I think the fact that he was so good at like easing me into it, because I if it had been somebody maybe a little too Cobra Kai-ish, maybe I would have been scared away. He kept me interested enough that I just, it was my escape. And kind of became my has become my therapy, because when I go to class, that's why I really like it is when I'm there, I have to focus 100% on what he's showing us. And so you forget everything, you're moving, and by the time you leave that class, no matter how you felt coming in, you feel a million times better leaving.
Now, did you feel kind of intimidated as far as, being a little more seasoned on the planet than some of the people that you were training with? Was there this intimidation or this kind of fear of like, oh, well, they're not going to maybe treat me as equal, or they're gonna kind of take it too easy, or actually it maybe kind of along the lines of that, did you maybe want them to kind of take it easy on you, or were you kind of just ready to just, hey, I'm here, let's just get into it as much as possible? Like, kind of what were those early kind of thoughts and feelings about training?
I think the fact that they did take it easy on me, and I don't think it was, I think it was just because I was with a lot of teenage kids and stuff that, it was more focused on just the basics and learning the techniques and learning the basics. And we didn't spar, I didn't spar until maybe start sparring until like a year ago. I wasn't competing. So I wasn't intimidated by it. To me, it was like learning how to dance, which I, did dance lessons when I was young. That's how I explain it to people. They're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, aren't you going to get hurt? Aren't you worried? And I'm like, no, I said, it's like learning how to dance. You're learning these steps that you have to do in a very specific way to get a certain result. And it's done in a way that yes, you could get hurt. And I've only gotten hurt twice. And both times it was a bruised rib, which at the first time I had a bruised rib, I had no idea that it was a bruised rib. I went to the doctors, they checked me out because someone had just actually, we were just doing a routine and someone just accidentally punched me in the right spot where it hit a piece of my rib. And boy, does that hurt. but once I realized it wasn't broken or anything, it was just bruised, it took a couple of weeks to heal. Then when it happened the second time, I knew what it was. I didn't even go to the doctor. I just said, oh, I bruised my rib again. And I was a little nervous about the fact that I'd had a bruised rib twice, because it does kind of suck the energy out of you, and it, takes you down for a couple of weeks of, you're not quite yourself while you're healing. And I was a little paranoid for a while, and I asked a bunch of my teacher and some women about, like, what do you guys do to protect your ribs? And I'm worried. I bought a plastic thing that you could wear to protect, and I did wear it for maybe 2 months. But it was so hard, and it was awkward when you're trying to maneuver and do techniques with people, and I felt like it was not really helping. And Denise Plowman, who was one of the teachers who had helped, was helping me, or I had been talking to, had said, well, she doesn't wear anything. She said, you just got to make sure you're protecting your ribs. Like, just learn to keep your hands protecting your ribs. And so I just finally stopped wearing it and stopped worrying about it and haven't gotten hurt since. So, and...
Well, you are definitely much, much tougher than me. I luckily, knock on wood, I haven't had any serious injuries in all my years of training so far. The day is young, so we'll see. But I'm a big baby when I get injured. So
right, and I think people, when they see you, like when people see, or you, like I showed some people some videos from my second degree brown belt test, and they were just like, oh my god. And I'm like, I mean, I did get hurt a little bit in one of the tests, but that was just a big bruise on my leg. But people don't understand, because they don't do it, to know that you're more likely to get hurt. I have more friends getting hurt playing pickleball than I've gotten hurt doing karate. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. So were there any things that when you started training that in your time training, you've kind of realized are maybe different than you thought they were going to be, as far as what it was like training, kind of going back to, because this wasn't kind of a thing that you kind of knew from birth that you're going to be doing? Was there maybe like any kind of misconceptions or just, I kind of think that, oh, well, maybe a lot of people go into the studio and think, oh, it's going to be, you know, I'm going to be washing cars like Mr. Right. Miyagi, or or I'm going to be, you know, yelling, you know, having some crazy person yelling at me like in a Cobra Kai. Right. So, were there any kind of things that maybe you were surprised, like, oh, like this part, or, you know, this karate thing is not quite like I thought it was, or kind of anything like that?
I mean, I didn't really know what to expect. You know, yes, I've seen a lot of karate movies, and obviously, like the Karate Kid movie, you know, I knew it wasn't realistic, but of course, I really didn't know what to expect. So I think it was, I don't know. I think it's just frustrating now when I watch those movies because they're so unrealistic. You know, they don't portray what you really have to go through to learn on TV or in the movies. You know, they make it sound like you're just suddenly gonna, you know, be able to do things within months, and it just takes a long, long, long time. It's very slow, methodical, and every time you think you know something, you realize how little you don't know about it. That's what I think is the coolest thing, is I love learning and continuous improvement. And I think my biggest challenge was I was so worried about memorizing the techniques and the forms and sets, because I don't have a good memory. So that was the other reason I wanted to do karate, was because I felt like it's you're not only just getting the physical exercise, but you're getting the mental exercise every time you do it, and you have to practice, and you have to. And so the whole having to memorize so much stuff, and then you think you know it, and then you take another class, or, you know, I take a lot of seminars with other teachers that go and delve into other things. And then you realize, oh my God, I really don't know. I just like touching the surface on this stuff. So you know, you realize how far you still have to go, but, you know, it's the journey has become very fun. So the continuous learning is just getting funner. It's getting more fun the more I learn, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Oh yeah. No, I can totally relate, and I have a laugh with my classmates, because at the school that I started, you know, well, at my current school, I'll be talking to some of the newer people, and they're like, oh, you know, gotta learn all these techniques and all these forms and all this terminology and all these different things, and you know, it's so much. And at the school that I'm at, we are on the 16 technique curriculum, and you know, 16 techniques per belt curriculum. And at the school that I started at, we had 40 techniques each belt. And so, yeah, I tell my cohorts, like, you know, 16 isn't so bad when you had to do 40, when I had to do 40 back in the day. So, yeah, I think it's doable. So. So yeah, we always have a little laugh about that. Have you gotten into the competing side of it?
I have not. My school, we don't compete. I didn't even realize, like, when I started, I didn't really know anything about the karate world. So I didn't even realize until years after I started, and started going to more seminars and talking to more people, and really getting into it more, that people like all these different international, well, not just international, but all these other schools that do competitions. And I'm just starting to learn about all that stuff, and I have not competed at all. And I don't know if I will or not. I haven't even thought about it. I don't. I probably should at some point, but I haven't yet. And I haven't talked to my teacher about, you know, if or when I should, because I'm Not that I couldn't, I feel like I probably could, but you know, I'm also 60, so I just get nervous about the age and getting hurt thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I only had, a handful of tournaments that I, actually competed in, and in that it was just in sparring, and this was back when I was a much younger person. I, didn't do forms or weapons or, any of those other things. I've toyed with the idea of at least doing forms, competing in forms, now, just mainly just to kind of say that I've done it. I, of course, spectated at a lot of tournaments to, su support my team. But yeah, I feel like it's, you definitely shouldn't be forced to compete. And there are a lot of schools out there that are, kind of like we mentioned, the Cobra Kai, the the John Kreese and whatnot, forcing you to do stuff. But I think it's something to at least try it. And you do it and it's like, oh, this isn't for me, then that's fine, you can kind of say. But that's just kind of kind of my thought on it. Tournament stuff though, really, I think overall isn't really for me anymore. But we'll see. We'll see. Got a lot of things on my plate, so we'll see how that goes. So curious. So now that you've been training and caught the bug at all, have you dabbled in any other arts besides Kenpo, or it's just all
All
Kenpo all the
Kenpo all the
time?
time. I know I've gone to some seminars where they've brought in other teachers. So I've, you know, I did a little bit of jiu-jitsu and I don't know what else I've done, but it's really, I've thought about it. I have a another student in my school. He just started, I believe, I forget exactly, but he started a second training and I'm like, I mean, like I just feel like I still am not where I want to be with Kenpo, so I feel like I just might get too overwhelmed starting a second one at this point. But at some point, you know, I think I would consider it.
So being kind of, well, we're kind of in the similar boat as far as starting Kenpo. Well, for me, rejoining Kenpo, but starting Kenpo a little bit, a little bit later in our years. What would you kind of say has been kind of the hardest parts about that, or maybe kind of things that you've kind of struggled with that, I don't know, maybe you wouldn't have had you started sooner, or kind of any kind of thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, I now that I've actually started it, like my biggest regret is that I didn't start it sooner, you know, just so I have more time. But as far as any other challenges, no, I just think it would have been good if I could have done it earlier in life. And so now I just feel like I just, you know, try to focus on myself and not compare to other people and just at least just keep going forward, you know, and don't worry too much about it. It's supposed, it's fun. I like it. You know, I'm meeting a lot of great people. I'm starting to travel more to like before I would. We've had teachers come to our school for seminars. I always go to them. I think I've only missed one ever in 10 years where I couldn't attend. And then I started going to all the
Oh,
local
excellent.
schools that had seminars in Massachusetts. And then this past year, I actually went to out to Washington, the state of Washington, to a weekend camp one. And so now I'm learning because I'm on the International Women of Kempo Facebook group and now become a board member. I'm learning more about like all the schools around the world. And, you know, now I'm looking at next year, like potentially going to the international seminar that's going to be happening in May in Ireland. Because I've always wanted to go to Ireland. So I'm like, well, why not go make it a vacation and then stay for a couple of days for Kempo training. So my husband's learned that I'm starting to plan some of our vacations around my Kempo.
Very nice. Very nice. I definitely want to try and get across the pond one of these days. You know, I've been out of the United States for military stuff and a little bit of vacationing, but I've never got to cross the ocean yet. Yeah. So that's still on my to-do list. So,
highly recommend it. I've only been to
can make that happen.
Germany and Italy so far, and so I want to get back over there.
Very nice, very nice.
It's great to travel.
Very nice. So you mentioned your husband. Does your husband train also, or this is a solo?
It's a solo thing. I can't convince him. I've tried, but he took a little bit of I forget what kind it was, but he took some karate when he was younger. His brother had become a black belt. He knows a little bit, so he will at least help me once in a while if I come home and I'm like, I need to run through this technique with somebody. That's one of my biggest challenges is when I come home, I try to practice on my own, but you need a person. And so sometimes I do ask him you have to try to get him to slow down and be like, I'm just trying to remember the technique. So, that's one of my challenges is I wish I had more time to just practice with somebody one-on-one. But I do go to class 4 times a week and I do try to just go through stuff on my own. I also, I don't know what kind of learner you call me, but I have to write everything out in addition to doing it. So I have a Google spreadsheet that I created that I have tabs for all my techniques with my notes. What kind of attack is it? I can sort it by belt color. I can sort it by attack type with all my notes so in case I forget how to do the technique, I can go back to my notes. All my forms and sets, my knife and gun defense notes, my sparring notes, and then my husband helped me create a randomizer. So when I'm trying to like study for a test or whatever, I can just randomly generate a technique that I can then try to remember to help me when I'm preparing for a test or something.
Oh, that is fantastic. I like that. That's definitely one of my failings is I'm really bad about writing stuff down and taking notes. And I know I should, and I know I keep saying I'm going to. And
it's so helpful.
Doesn't quite happen.
Sometimes you may not recognize your notes, but most of the time it helps me because if you're already up to over 100 techniques and all the, there's so much to memorize and maybe you haven't looked at a yellow or orange technique in a while. At least I know I can go back and look at it. And if it doesn't immediately come back to me, I can just look at my quick notes and go, oh, okay, I remember it now. So I find it very helpful.
Gotcha. Very good. Very good. So you mentioned that you are a second brown. At this time, have you got into the teaching side at all?
I have not. Another thing that I assume at some point I will help my teacher. We just haven't had that discussion yet. I've I do start some of his classes for him when he's running late. I do some of the warm-ups, but I actually haven't started teaching yet. So I know I should and I will eventually. I hope so.
Gotcha. You know, do you have any aspirations for teaching? Is it something that you'd like to do?
I don't mind teaching. My goal is to get to black belt and then continue for as long as I'm physically able to. I consider it a life thing that I want to just stick with the rest of my life. I've been helping my teacher, Mr. Crehan, run all of his women's assault prevention classes, which I love also. And so my goal, I definitely want to be able to teach women's assault prevention classes on my own eventually. That's definitely something I really would love to do. And I think it would be good to also teach classes at the school. I think because it would help me to become a better student too. So yes, I will. I do want to eventually start teaching. We just haven't had that discussion yet. But I definitely think it would help.
Very nice. Very nice. So, so since you are not yet a black belt, I'm curious as to kind of your thoughts. So for me, you know, now that I am, you know, starting to get up there in the advanced levels, there is, you know, like, you know, many others, you know, yes, I want to get to, you know, get to my black belt and, you know, get to that, you know, that spot so that I can start learning the art. But, I do have a little bit, and you know, I enjoy the teaching, I enjoy the training, I enjoy all the different aspects, but I'm starting, I do have some feelings about, now it's like, it's kind of, it's getting serious now. It's now, you know, the students are looking to, you know, starting to look to me and, you know, as I'm in the instructor program now, there's a little bit of pressure about, you know, being up there and getting closer to that black belt. And, I'm curious if, you know, you have kind of similar feelings. It's like, you know, it's exciting to be so close, but yet also it's like, I'm not sure if I'm really ready or I really want, you know, want to do this, you know. So,
I feel like at the beginning, like getting my yellow, orange, you know, my other belts, I was nervous, but not, I do feel like the more you advance, the more pressure to really know what which to me, I mean, in a way it's a good thing because it makes me want to practice more and go to class and which is good, but yes, I do feel the more nervous about getting to black belt. When I up through my third brown, I had always just tested with my teacher at the school, and it wasn't until I had my second degree test that I had a board of like 10 people, including Mr. Sepulveda, our teacher, my teacher's teacher, and a lot of senior people. Some of them were on Zoom because they couldn't get there. And then a whole, you know, the most I've ever had to test in front of. And it was only me and two other people. And so, you know, I was very nervous. But they, my teacher did a, and some of the other teachers that helped did a great job preparing us for it. So we would have monthly like prep tests for the tests. So I got I was already like testing, like practice testing, which was very helpful. And then once I did it, I actually, the time I got hurt where I got this massive bruise on my leg, that was one of the practice tests. I actually didn't have any issues doing the actual test getting hurt. But I felt like I did it and I was very proud of myself, but I also felt like, oh my God, this is just like, this is how the tests are going to be now. And they're way more intense. And I really gotta step up my game. So yes, I am a little nervous, which is, but I don't have a deadline. Like I'm just gonna keep training until till my teacher feels I'm ready. So I trust him to know if I'm ready or, he thinks I'm ready or not. Because everybody, that's one thing I love about Kempo, or at least the school I'm in, is they treat everyone like an individual. I know other people who've already got their black belt by, and after the same number of years. But for me, I don't feel like I'm ready. I still have so much to learn, and but I trust Mr. Crehan to guide me the right way toward getting me there when I am ready.
Gotcha. I like it.
So that in him and all the teachers I've interacted with are just the most amazing people. And they're like, I just trust them so much, and I've learned so much from them. And so that definitely helps. And I didn't have any of that at the beginning. I didn't know any of these other women or that ran schools. I didn't know anything about the whole community of Kempo until years after I started. I was just focusing on learning techniques, trying to get the basics down. And now, the more I keep learning, the more I'm just in awe of these people, and I feel so privileged to be learning and going to these seminars with very advanced Kempo artists who are just amazing and great teachers. So I feel I trust them. I trust them to help me, and that I'll be ready when I'm ready.
Very nice. I like it. I like it. All right. So, kind of the next thing, what are your thoughts about kind of the future of Kempo? Maybe where would you like to see it head? What kind of things maybe you would maybe want to tell somebody that's maybe thinking about getting involved, and just kind of, there's a lot of kind of fractured elements in Kempo as far as, just drama and politics, which we of course will not get into, but just kind of, where would you like to see Kempo, head in the future? Or maybe are there things that you are seeing currently that maybe you'd like to change, or things that you think are going in the right direction? And just what would be kind of your thoughts on just the future of Kempo?
I guess just that more people are exposed to it and have the opportunity to learn something, as far as, I don't know a lot about the politics. I know a little bit, but I just think it's such a great thing, especially for kids to learn. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there about what it is, and I just think I would love it to become more mainstream, and more people to be aware of how beneficial it is for anybody, and that you can start it at any age. It's great for kids for confidence and lots of reasons, but it's also you, but you can start it at any time. So I just think, more more people being aware of it and it being a little more mainstream would be great. I don't, you know, I think for I think it's great that I think tying it into exercise, because I think you know, people are always looking for ways to keep their interest with exercise. So, you know, tying it into strength training and flexibility, it's so important, especially the older you get. So the more people realize that it can help you, that I just think it would be great for that too. So, yeah, I don't really know where else it should go, or, you know, like I said, I'm still feel like a newbie so much that I can't really.
Yeah, no, I, yeah, I'm right there with you. Some days I feel like I know it all, and most days I feel like I know nothing. So, very nice. All right, so we're gonna go ahead and move into our lightning round here, and got some questions here to bring us close to a close here. First one being, do you have a favorite technique?
So I had to go look at, I had to go think about that one because you asked it. I listened to Denise Plowman's interview, and I knew you had asked her that. So mine, I mean, there's a lot I like, but what I came up with was twirling sacrifice. And the reason I like it is because I love the ending, because I actually use it in the self-defense class. It was the first thing that came to mind. So I have a student teacher in my class, Andrew, who's a very big kid. I call him a kid because he's my son's age. He actually grew up my son. But he's a big guy. He's over 6 feet, and he's so he had we were working on that technique, and I when I was practicing that technique, I just loved the fact that even someone as big as Andrew, I was able to just so easily flip over my leg at the end. And like some people, I would literally like they go flying because they weren't even that big. But I just thought it was a cool technique. So when I was teaching an assault prevention class with my teacher, they were like, "Oh, can you show us a technique?" And that was the first one that came to mind. And all the women just thought it was funny that I was able to just throw this guy. So I like so that's the one I came up with. But I like anything that has to do with like I'm fascinated with like joint locking and being able to manipulate somebody very easily with just, you know, not so much taking them down and like whatever. But the fact that I can just easily do something to throw someone on the ground, once you know those basics, I just think it's so cool.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, especially on the joint locking part.
Yeah, I just went through a seminar this weekend with Mr. Wedlake, who is an awesome teacher, and
Oh,
he did a whole
yes, he is
thing
great.
on class on joint locking, and it was awesome.
Very nice. Yeah, my original teacher got involved with small circle jiu-jitsu, and just really, really amazing stuff there. Finger locks and wrist locks, and you can just, drag people all around the studio. As I mentioned to him when I had him on my show, we were going over the different locks and whatnot, and it's like, that doesn't really look like it could do anything, but then I got to be the test dummy for that, and as it's well said in Kenpo, to feel is to believe, and I definitely became a believer that day as far as the wrist locks and whatnot are concerned. All right, and so the next one is, do you have a favorite form and or set?
That's it. That was a tough one too. I would say I was looking at them and I said, well, I guess stance set one, is what I came up with. Just because the basics of it, and I guess because I've gotten a lot of good feedback on that one, and you know, the fact it's just so good, it's so helpful on your body alignment and keeping your head level, and you know, getting all the basics in there. So I like them all, but.
Yeah, no. So it's, you're in a good company. I spoke with Brittany Tatum the other day, and I believe she mentioned Stance. I believe she said Stance Set 2 was her favorite. Sorry, listeners, I'm spoiling part of the episode, but yeah, she's very big on stances, yeah. So it's nice that to hear the stance sets getting some love there. So very nice. All right. So then our final question, if there's anyone that you could train with, living or dead, fictional or non-fictional, who would that be?
I'm sure everyone says Mr. Parker. So obviously, Mr. Parker.
I forgot to add that part. Yeah, besides Ed Parker, yeah. Yes, of course.
I don't know enough in the history, but like, I just think the more people you put,
can be someone you've already trained with if you want to give them a shout out.
Oh my God, there's so many great people I've trained with. Some of the women, Mrs. Doreen, I can't say her last name. They call her Mrs. C. She's out of Revere, Mass. I've gone to her school. I've Sandra D. She did a phenomenal woman self-defense class that was really fun when I was out in Washington. Denise Plowman's sparring classes. Mr. Acosta's sparring. There's so much. Like, and Mr. Wedleg, my teacher, there's so many, Mr. Spolvita. I mean, I've already trained with so many great people, and I think I just want to keep training with different people, because I feel like every single person you learn something new. So just more exposure to all these great teachers that I've had some exposure with. I want more, and then I just want to keep meeting more people and learn more stuff.
Excellent. I like it. All right. I thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and tell me about your story. And I'm just overjoyed to get to meet you, and as well as all the other various people that I've had on and will have on. So thank you for taking the time. Now is your chance for shameless self-promotion. So you can promote anything that you want to, or just say anything that you like. You have the floor to put out there anything that you want, and then we'll close out for today.
I just want to thank you for the opportunity to share my story, and you know, to hear your story, and be able to listen to other people's stories through your podcast, which I started to do, and I just think it's a great art that I just want more people to be aware of. And I'm going to be a grandmother in February, my first grandchild.
All right, congratulations.
Yeah, so I'm already thinking about, you know, I haven't even told my son this yet, but I'm like, your daughter will be going to karate class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's get those baby geese right. Picked
yeah.
out.
And so, yeah, I just think it's a great thing to learn, and I've just enjoyed the journey so far and looking forward to the rest of my journey. So I thank you.
Excellent. All right. Well, yes, thank you again. I can't wait to get this out for the everyone else to hear. And thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thank you. It's nice meeting you.
Thank you for listening to My Empty Hands. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend. If you didn't enjoy it, please share it with an enemy. If you'd like to be a guest, or if you would like to recommend a guest for the show, please email me at podcast@talkingkenpo.com. Thank you.